from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
They're longtime friends.
Let me tell you something real quick about Dibs that I'm sure not everybody knows.
And first-time partners.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Now these two homegrown Bay Area boys finally come together to take over sports talk.
Get the hell off of my doorstep.
Major League Baseball, you stink.
It's Willard and Dibs. On 95.7, The Game.
Yeah, that, let's play with that for a sec. And yeah, Juan Toscano-Anderson's going to be on here in like a little bit less than 20 minutes. Juan's just awesome. Juan's awesome. I don't, you know, rest in peace, Al Laddles. And, you know, can't wait to hear his perspective. I think that'll help people. But Juan is also just, Juan's awesome. So Juan will be on. Tim Roy's going to be on. We're going to have some fun today for sure. But yeah, it's good. It's good. Good enough. This is for me is a constant quarterback question in the NFL, and it's kind of the bucket I've always argued you don't really want to end up in that bucket. I'm not saying that's where Brock is. I think that's the question that's left. There's no more question about whether he's good. The question is he great? And the question is can he engineer a team that's a little bit less eye poppy? But those are the quarterbacks right now, I'd say he's at minimum arrived at Cousinsville, Dakville.
Right. Kyler Murray, Jared Goff.
Sure, Jared Goffville. I think that's a good one. Yeah. And yes, largely these guys do get the contract. Sometimes it's with a different team, right? Jared Goff got given up on by the Rams. Yeah. Cousins has been let go twice. When you've got a good quarterback, you know you're relevant, you know you're a playoff contender, but I'd also argue those teams know you're probably not going to win the Super Bowl. Like, Atlanta's not like, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Dallas? I mean,
well, Dallas thinks,
when was the last time that they were in the conference championship game?
But they're myopic. The Dallas Cowboys are the definition
but
of
I think a great
delusional
comp because they paid Dak thinking exactly what you're talking about, which Dak is good enough to get us there. And yes, the owner and the owner's son, they're overreaching, and the team always seems to be, you know, 10-3. Here comes Dallas, and then the late December and January fade. But I think they're a perfect example of thinking that their quarterback is good enough, but then he's not.
But it was more reasonable the last time that they paid him than it is now.
If they pay him.
If you ask Cowboy fans.
Yeah.
But the favorite in that debate is that he's going to get paid again. Because he's going to go out there this year, and he's got CeeDee Lamb, and he's going to put up, like, if you want to go back in time, go look at Dak's numbers last year. If you're a numbers person, Dak was the best quarterback in the league.
Sure.
Period. Period.
It's great. Numbers are great when you throw it 42 times a game.
And you make all of your stats build up in the game against the crappy teams. Like, if you take Dak against the New York Giants last year, he's the best quarterback who's ever played the game ever. But if you put him against the 49ers each year, you're like, this guy's a chump. So, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. Because what you risk when you let that quarterback go, you risk losing your relevancy. Like, the Vikings were relevant within the last couple of years. They went 13-3 2 years ago.
Right.
Then they lost a playoff game. Then Cousins got hurt. You have a bad year. You let him walk, and I'd argue the Vikings, what? They're probably predicted to be fourth in that division now.
It's a rebuild, for sure.
You left your relevancy at the door. And so that's when you do, when you leave your good quarterback, but the effort is to be great. I know that Garoppolo's a punchline now, but it's what the Niners did a couple of years ago. They're good. They went for great.
And they missed.
And they missed.
And then they found it.
And they tripped and fell into a pot of gold.
Totally.
We think.
Well, it's been a pot of gold so far.
Yeah.
Is good good enough? Yes. And good is good enough because their team is good enough. And if they go through this year and they don't win the Super Bowl, then, you know, it might be Brock's fault. It might be Kyle's fault or everyone else's fault. But I would guess that they're not going to go 8-9. And if they go 8-9 and everyone is healthy, then you've got problems. If Christian and George and Debo and Brandon, if he plays, and Trent and Brock, if they're all playing, and you know, Warner and all the rest of them, if they're all healthy and they go 8-9, well, then we're all going to be scratching our collective heads.
That would be weird.
That would be really, really weird. Yeah. So is good good enough? Yes, good is good enough right now because you have a lot of talent around him. And like last year, Brock was good. He was even great, you could say. He didn't have more than a couple of shaky games, and the one against Baltimore on Christmas, we all look at, big deal, that's one of 17. He was good. He actually was great. And was it good enough? Yeah, it was good enough to get you to the overtime of the Super Bowl, and someone had to lose it, and well, you lost it to the greatest quarterback of modern football, maybe. So is good good enough? Yeah, good is good enough.
I tend to agree with you, but I think, and it's the reason I'm asking the question today, and you can certainly weigh in, 888-957-9570, I think that's what this year is actually all about. I think that's what this year is all about. Like, sure, Niners are good, win the Super Bowl. That's just standing there. That's at the start of every week one. But while we're all distracted by contract holdout and going to whichever Twitter feed we want to find out that they've moved from the 1 yard line to the half yard line.
Right.
While we're all distracted by that, I think that that's what this season's going to be all about. I think this season's going to be all about Brock Purdy. Because that's what the season's always about. That's what NFL football is now about. It's about the quarterback. Why else would you be handing out a quarter of your cap to one player? It's about the quarterback. And we are living in an age where the rules have been structured in a way, and the athleticism that's being provided at that position means that the bar is very high. Let's pretend that what we saw in the preseason is real. Caleb Williams, going to be a star. Jaden Daniels, going to be a star. Bo Nix just got named the starter, and Bo Nix is going to be a thing. And Herbert's now got a coach, and there's already Mahomes and Allen and Jackson and Jordan Love and Dak Prescott and Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray. Like, dude, I just named half the league has quarterbacks that all I need to do is use their first name. And you know exactly who I'm talking about. And so this guy who has already shown people he's good, I hear all over the place, tucked into so many different football points right now, that a lot of you still don't really buy that he's great. And if he's not great, then what do you do after this year? Is there a movement of the number? Do you open yourself up to the unthinkable, which is going a completely different direction? I find that to be almost laughable at this hour, but we have a whole season to watch.
Of course, of course.
I think that's what this season's about.
If he's been great, and if he just comes back and he's good, and like Steiny was saying, maybe you know, you're a wild card team and you lose the first playoff game, and he's good, but he's not 31 touchdowns and 11 picks. Maybe he's, you know, 30 touchdowns and 15 picks. Ooh. And the yards go down to 3,800, and he fumbles six times, and you go 10-7, you don't go 12-5, and you take a step back with all the same talent and all the health that you have. Well, then I still think you keep him, but the number probably goes down. Maybe he doesn't reset the market, but he still gets big quarterback money, because I believe that Kyle Shanahan is 100% sure that Brock Purdy is the dude. Brock Purdy understands what Kyle wants. He processes very quickly. He can make all the throws. He makes good decisions. I think that Kyle thinks that Brock Purdy is the dude.
I agree with you.
So then it becomes, for me, it comes down to what's that number going
to
be?
Okay, but does that feel good to fans? Not that that matters. Not that that goes into the contract negotiation. But I guess what I'm saying here is, so Fred Warner did the thing last week where he's like, he's one of the best in the game.
He's going to be,
soon to be the unquestioned best QB in the game. And everybody collectively went, okay, Fred.
All right, Fred. It's your teammate.
Exactly. Gas him up. I mean, you could have hid yourself a little bit more than that. Because what I think people really think is, well, the Niners have a good quarterback, but there's no chance that he's ever Mahomes, Allen, or Jackson. And in fact, I watched in fewer games Jordan Love pop in a way last year that made people go, and Brock's ceiling is not even that. And Jordan Love has played nowhere near as many games as Brock Purdy. He's had nowhere near as much success. And no matter what the hell it looked like for 3.5 quarters, they played head-to-head. And Brock made the plays in the end, and Jordan did not. And Jordan lost. But if I offered to 49er fans right now, next 10 years, Brock or Jordan, who do you want? Be a hell of a debate. And so because Jordan's a first-round draft pick, because he has different measurables, I think of a lot of people have accepted Brock Purdy's good, but he's never going to be those guys. And if you accept that, that's sort of my question. You good with that? Are you cool with 8 years of like, yeah, our guy's good?
Well, it depends on what you value. No? If you're a fan who values, winning, then yeah, you're good with it, because that's what he does.
But that may not always be the case. But
of course not. Yeah. I mean, his arm could fall off again and he could miss a year. You never know what could happen. But based on what he's done, and I thought it was interesting the way Steiny was talking about sample size. Brock Purdy, he's only started 21 games or whatever. At what point do we look at a sample size and say, I'm comfortable now with that as a sample? And that to me becomes a sliding scale based on how you want to frame an argument, because what you've seen from Brock so far, and you mentioned it yesterday, he's got 4 playoff wins, which is as many as Jimmy Garoppolo. He's one behind Allen. He's ahead of, the reigning MVP, Lamar Jackson. He's ahead of Dak. He's ahead of Kirk Cousins. He's ahead of so many other quarterbacks who've had a bigger sample than Brock Purdy. So how do you really want to frame it? Do you want to look at Brock and say, I'm going to need 60 games before I really think about Brock Purdy? And it's kind of like what we saw with, other sports and other samples. You could sometimes look at it and go, okay, I can see it. I don't need to see 80 games of this guy to know what I see.
Well, this is such a great question, because if you're going to bring up sample size, I can fire so many different holes in that comment. Nobody is sample sizing C.J. Stroud.
Exactly.
He doesn't have near the starts that Brock Purdy has.
Or you mentioned Caleb Williams. People are already falling over themselves.
He hasn't played in the NFL yet.
A game. 0 games.
Correct. Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams.
All those guys.
No games combined. C.J. Stroud, less than a full season of football.
Right. And two playoff games.
And you would never hear anyone go to your fantasy draft. No one is going to go, well, let's hold the front door here on C.J. Stroud.
Careful.
Let's get another year or two or five before we really decide if he's good. No one would ever say that.
It's because we inject our bias into everything.
And draftism, right. We've been over all that for sure. So I guess the question is twofold. Do you think that Brock Purdy can ever legitimately be a part of that elite group? And if your answer is no, that Brock Purdy's ceiling is just like a really awesome B+, and that's his career. You're just a strong B+. You're Dak or Jared Goff. Are you like, let's ride? Or are you thinking, boy, $60 million feels a little hot for that.
I'm of the camp of let's ride, because you know who is Captain B plus, but he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer? It's Russell Wilson. He's the king of the B plus, because you look at what he did in Seattle, and a lot of that was built on a very good defense.
Yes.
And you had beast mode in the backfield. Russell Wilson didn't really carry you to many of those big time games. He was a very good quarterback. He made plays. He got the offense to where they needed to be. And they won games because they had an unbelievable home field advantage. They had a great defense. They had a good run game. They had an identity, and he was a good quarterback.
I mean, it's a fair point. He's thrown for 4,000 yards 4 times in his career.
Okay.
And that's great, but that comes more than half of his years he does not throw for 4,000 yards.
And if you look at his first 5 years of his career, 11-5, 13-3, 12-4, 10-6, 10-5-1, 5 years of unbelievable football as a team.
Yeah.
And like you said, only two of those 5 years he went over 4,000 yards. For me, he's Captain B plus.
The stats are good. I mean, he's gone well over 30 touchdown passes, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, career quarterback rating of 100. Russell was great.
But Brock is on a pace.
Sure.
I know it's early.
Sure.
On pace to be even better than that. And this guy's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But he's a B plus, in my opinion.
Okay, and that's a fair opinion. Yeah. We're sponsored by Safeway. Glad you're with us. If you want to weigh in on this, those of you on hold, stay right there. We'll take your calls, 888-957-9570. Also, though, coming up next, we're going to spend a little time with Bay Area favorite and Bay Area guy, Juan Toscano-Anderson, the passing of Al Attles, and more. Juan knows the family as well as anyone, and they have a lot to do with why he became a Warrior. So all of that is coming up next. Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We'll be right back.
Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, historically, this has gone well. When Juan Toscano-Anderson joins the station, he's phenomenal.
He's awesome.
And so we should do this right away without further delay, because he's kind enough to join us on a day where all of our hearts go out to the entire Addles family, the entire Golden State Warriors family. Joining us on the River Islands guest line is none other than Juan Toscano-Anderson. Hey, Juan, thanks for coming on. How you doing, man?
Well, first, I appreciate you guys having me, and I appreciate those kind words, you know, to introduce me. Thank you. That was pretty dope. I'm doing well, man.
No, I mean it from the bottom of my heart, man. We love talking to you, and honestly, when I heard of Al's passing this morning, and once you get past the whole, your own sort of personal thoughts about it, you were one of the first names that I thought of. I'm like, boy, like, I'd love to talk to Juan. And maybe I just, like, you do it. Can you reshare with our audience why you and the Addles family, you know, mean so much to one another and how you're connected?
Yes, of course. So Mr. Addles' wife, she was my third grade teacher, Mrs. Addles. And she put me into Warriors camp. She saw just a ton of potential in me. You know, at the time I was going through a rough time in my life, my family and I, and, I don't know. She just saw something in me that, you know, she went ahead and put me into Warrior Camp, and that just changed the whole trajectory of my life. I mean, I found love in a game that I wasn't really, you know, introduced to, and this game has gone to change my life and, you know, the lives of my family and the people close to me as well. So I'm forever indebted to them, and they're really special people to me. You know, that family's an amazing family.
Did you know at the time exactly the power of the Addles family and Mrs. Addles? I know you were a third grader living in East Oakland, and I think you were going to Montclair Elementary, if memory serves correctly. Did you know at the time the level of a break that you were getting?
Not at all. I mean, I didn't look at it that way. I don't think any kid looks at it that way. You know, I was just, it was something new to me, going to a word camp, an organized camp, a high-level camp, you know, something different than what I was used to growing up in East Oakland. So, no, I didn't even think of it that way. I didn't even think that basketball would, you know, be my vessel to navigate life, you know. So it just brought positivity into my life. And I think that, you know, that's huge. As humans, we're always, at least for myself, you know, if I can change the lives of other people or just one person in my lifetime, then I've done my duty. And, you know, that family, I'm sure there's numerous people's lives they've changed, but, you know, that family changed my life. And, you know, I can also change. I've been in a position to change other people's lives, you know, doing, you know, my foundation work and, you know, just so many other things. And so their magnitude has just exponentially grown so much just with me alone. Like I said, I'm sure I'm not the only person that, you know, they've had such a major impact life. You know, on their life.
You know, Juan, I'm always mindful in times like these where somebody who had such a profound effect on an organization we love has left such a legacy in this city. We also have tons of listeners who really don't know Al Addles and really don't know the imprint that he had. So what was your direct experience with him, and how would you describe his legacy?
It's an unreal legacy. I mean, he's worked at the pinnacle in this, you know, in this business in so many different, you know, facets, you know, as a coach, a GM, a player, Hall of Famer. I mean, in my eyes, as a hooper, you know, and somebody who, you know, I pour my life into this game and I respect and love this game so much. I mean, it's unreal. You know, it's amazing. It's something to strive for. I mean, I don't know if I'd ever want to go into coaching or, you know, be a GM. A lot of work and a lot of stress, but I mean, those are top level jobs. You know, it's amazing basketball mind, and just from a basketball standpoint, right? But just even from a humanity standpoint, like I said, you know, just being, you know, Mr. Addles being a teacher in Oakland Unified School District, you know, what they've done off the floor is just incredible, man. There aren't words to really describe it. At least for me, I think, you know, I have more of a sentimental attachment to that family. I'm just, like I said, I can't say it enough. Like, I'm forever thankful to them. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Juan. I didn't mean to cut you off. I mean, just the emotional connection that you feel to the Addles family.
Yeah, no, I'm just thankful to them, man. You know, I've been a big, huge fan of his, you know, from a basketball standpoint. Like I said, everything he's done, you know, every time I see him, he'd always ask me, can you still dunk it? Can you still dunk it? And I just love that, you know, because that's one of the things people remember me, you know, for, you know, on the Warriors when I had that huge dunk against JaVale McGee. And like, I'm a huge Warriors fan. I've been a Warriors fan my whole life. So I know what those type of moments, like, they mean to the real fans. Like, I still remember when, you know, BD dunked on Andre Kirilenko. You know, that's, I'm going to forever remember that moment. And I've watched thousands of basketball games. I've seen, you know, amazing highlights, but I'm always going to remember when Baron Davis dunked on Andre Kirilenko, you know. So those just little moments, they light up my day, especially coming from somebody like himself. Like I said, he's in the upper echelon when it comes to this, you know, this fraternity.
Do you remember where you were for that Baron on Kirilenko moment? You had to be like about, what, 14 or 15 when that happened?
Yeah, something about that, somewhere around that age. Yeah, I was sitting in my mom's room. We had, I think at the time we had one TV in the house, and it was in my mom's room. And we all crowd, you know, that's where we watched the playoff games. So, yeah, I was in my mom's room watching it.
What's awesome. Your go-to when moments like that happen? Like, did you run out of the room? Did you just yell? Like, I'm a runner when moments like that happen. I start running around the house.
You know what? I probably used to do that when I was a kid, but I really love all the facets of this game, right? I love the crowd reaction. I love the teammates' reaction. I love the after moments, you know, and I think when you run out of the room, you kind of run away from the game and you miss, like, you know, people's reactions, and I love to see that type of stuff. So I sit there and I'm just like, damn, you know, like, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. So I really watch it thoroughly, you know, through all the moments.
So you grow up in the East, the Deep East, 95th, and you go to Castro Valley, and obviously as a grammar school kid, you get mentored by Al's wife. What was it like when you signed with the Warriors and you get to see Mr. Addles and you are basically coworkers?
I don't even know how to really explain it because, I mean, it was just like, it was a reminder every day of like where my life was at the time and then like where my life was in the moment, you know, when I would see him in the building. And like, everybody has their thing, right? Some people love basketball. Some people, they want to be a high level chef or, you know, I don't know, the next president or whatever. But for me, like, that was a dream come true, you know, from a basketball standpoint. So it was a daily reminder that, you know, I was truly living out my dream, you know, and I'm sure people from the Warriors organization, they tell you, like, I was in there every day, like, oh my God, this is incredible. It never got old to me, you know? And so seeing him was just a daily reminder of, like, where this whole dream, like, where the seed was planted, you know, from, like, really the very, very moments of it.
Juan Toscano-Anderson is our guest right here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Juan, while we have you and while we're talking about great moments, where were you and how did you take in the gold medal game in the Olympics?
I was in Cabo with my family, and I was watching the game, and that was one of the best games I had ever seen in my life. Just, you know, those moments, like, people are going to remember those moments forever. You know, Steph on the world stage, Steph and Brian playing together on the world stage, representing the USA, you know, playing for gold against a really good offensive team. I mean, it was incredible. Steph is... And it's funny to me because, you know, all the people, like, I've had the opportunity to be on, you know, multiple teams in the NBA now. And you get to see different perspectives, right? You get to see I was Steph's teammate and then I was not Steph's teammate. And so, I like I said before when, you know, you asked me if I run out of the room, like, I really watch the reactions of everybody on the bench and how people, like, really are receptive to, like, Steph's energy and who he is as a basketball player. And it's incredible to see that the greatest guys in the world that are playing basketball are like little kids when they're watching this guy. This guy is truly incredible. I don't think everybody has a true grasp on like what we're watching right now, but we're truly watching one of the greatest players to ever play this game in a super methodical and skilled way. Like, he's incredible. He's not 6'9". He's not super athletic. You know, like, this guy is extremely skilled, and I just think it's incredible to watch. And like I said, from a basketball standpoint, like, I feel lucky, you know, living. I'm sure people feel the same way about guys like Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson. Like, I really get to watch Steph Curry up close. You know, I get to watch every single game. I don't have to watch it on NBA Hardwood Classics or go back to YouTube and watch highlights. Like, I get to watch him through his highs and lows. And maybe I just feel that way because I'm, you know, I grew up watching him. And he's played for my favorite team, you know, ever since he came into the league. Maybe I'm a little biased. Maybe I'm a little favorite towards him. But, I mean, it's just cool to just see everybody else just appreciate him the way that his teammates do, you know?
Yeah, and you played for your favorite team, and I'm a big fan of the Trevor Noah podcast, What Now with Trevor Noah, so I have to ask you, Juan, what now for Juan Toscano-Anderson?
Well, I'm still trying to, you know, keep the league dream alive. We'll see what happens. Not really sure where I'm going to play next year. I have a couple options, but trying to get back in the league, man. It's the best league in the world, and, you know, I'm just blessed to be able to, you know, play the game that I love for a job. And I'm, you know, I'm on the back end of my career, right? Like, I'm not 21 anymore, 31. So I'm just really just trying to enjoy the rest of the years that I have planned. Cause I also don't want to play forever. You know, there are other things I want to do in my life. I have other dreams, you know, too, being a businessman and so forth. And so, yeah, man, don't know exactly. I'm still in the park like you are.
Juan, I was right. It's always good when you come on. I got to say, yep. Thank you so much, man. It's always great to hear your voice.
I appreciate you guys for having me. And, you know, I just, the last thing, I just want to send my condolences to the, you know, the Addles family, you know, especially Mrs. Addles. I really love her, you know, as if she was my own, you know, blood. That lady really, you know, truly changed my life. So just want to send my condolences to, you know, anybody else who's affected by, you know, the passing of Mr. Addles.
Beautifully said, man. Beautifully said. Thank
JTA.
You. Yeah, thank you so much for the time.
I appreciate you guys, man. You guys have a good one.
Okay, you too. Juan. All right, there he goes. JTA
yeah.
on 95.7 The Game.
JTMFNA.
You're damn right.
Is what that is.
I love that dude.
I do too.
Yeah,
just so solid. And his story is unbelievable to go from the Deep East, and Mrs. Addles gives him a little bit of a nudge in the right direction. And obviously he had talent and work ethic and all the rest of it, but he travels around, bounces around, becomes a Warrior, plays with Steph, and here he is now a husband and a father and successful and a pro hoopa and still out there trying to do it. I love to talk to him.
Yeah,
inspirational, man.
Rest in peace to Al Addles, and by no means done with that conversation yet, because Tim Roy, the voice of the Dubs, is going to come on here in just about 15 or 20 minutes. And I know he loves Al. Everybody loved Al. And so Tim is going to have some great stuff to share, and we look forward to that conversation, as always, on Withered and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Glad you're with us, 888-957-9570. We were talking earlier sort of about, like, the standing of Brock Purdy within the quarterback tree. And for me, at least, this conversation is largely inspired by those of you who think Super Bowl or bust or Super Bowl window closing. Both of those comments I hear a lot. To me, what I hear when you say that is, I'm not 100% sold on Brock Purdy. That's what I hear. Because the idea of a window closing when you have a 24-year-old franchise quarterback is a head-scratcher to me. But maybe people don't think that. And so if you don't think that Brock Purdy can ascend or hasn't already ascended to being one of the top five or top seven in the game, and let's say his ceiling is sort of where most people put him right now, 11, 12, 13, whatever, is that good enough for you? Is that good enough? What if, as you said, what if this year does look exactly like last year? And what if there, and the year before? And you are statistically a very good player, and the 49ers are very good, but you fall short. Something happens, whether an offensive lineman goes the wrong way or an arm falls off of a body or whatever it is, you know, where are you then? And it, not so much just like what the number would be, but as a fan, are you excited about the next, most of the next decade of having a quarterback who's just like, good. He's good.
No, he's really good.
He's really good.
Yeah. But just changes when he starts to make more money, because your roster will be replete, complete with more underpaid guys, more guys on rookie contracts than what it is now. So it's not really Super Bowl or bust. I'll use that phrase throughout the season, but it is more like you're saying Super Bowl or try again, because next year, no matter what the deal is in this offseason coming up, he's still going to be making rookie money. So you do have one more year. But I think about the NFL standings right now, and if you could look across all 32 teams, how many teams are in a true Super Bowl or bust sort of situation? And I think about the New York Jets with the 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers in the last year of his deal. They're probably either going to make a real run for the Super Bowl, or they're going to do something else at quarterback and Robert Saleh might lose his job. The Dallas Cowboys, similarly, Dak Prescott running out of contract, and their coach is in a spot where he's a little bit beleaguered. But if you go across the league, there aren't a lot of teams that are really in that win now or else mode. Yep. Like Kansas City, I made the point in the crossover.
Well, now
if they go 0-17,
yeah, they're made
Andy's
men.
Back, Pat's back,
sure.
Everybody's back. But there are some teams, Philadelphia, I would put in that same category.
Well,
coach is going to lose his job unless they win 12 games.
Maybe, but it's not, yeah, it's not Super Bowl or bust. Every one of these has a little bit of a different quirk to it.
But you get what I'm saying
totally,
about
100%.
The situation.
Absolutely.
Like Atlanta, you've got a little bit of time. And Miami, McDaniel's going to have at least a couple of years to try to get to that elite level. And the Rams with McVay and Stafford, you know, you're going to give Stafford at least one or two more years. I don't know what his contract status is, but he's not on any hot seat. Harbaugh's got some time with Herbert. And, you know, so there aren't a lot of teams that have that unique pressure. I think the Giants are one of them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at these teams, and if you're going to put it under the umbrella of job status, then yeah, I'd actually argue that the 49ers have almost no pressure on them this
True.
Year. Kyle Shanahan's not going anywhere.
He's not, but the pressure's on, like, the quarterback decision.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the roster decisions.
And I don't even know exactly what that decision is. I mean, I think it's a different conversation to have if you wanted to throw out the hypothetical question of what would Brock have to do this year for you to not want him to be the quarterback in the future.
He'd have to stay healthy and stink.
It would have to be really bad. Like yeah. something bizarro would have to happen out there.
Like he starts getting the yips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like full-on yip.
But I know that this is still out there. Look at this. This is Xfinity Mobile Text Line, and this is the person I'm talking to.
Oh, jeez. Give out the phone number.
415.
Give the whole number, Mark, so we can blow them up. No, don't do it.
Okay.
That's actually illegal. But go ahead.
Brock is just another Jimmy G. He looks good when he has the Avengers around him.
Brocky P?
And below average when they're injured.
Oh, jeez. Yeah?
See, but I can throw right back and go, well, but who made the Avengers the Avengers? I'd argue
I don't even know who's in the Avengers.
Well, you don't, like, if you... Now, here's where I will talk Brandon Ayuk today. Forget his contract. Nobody has anything provable that Brandon Ayuk is phenomenal except for Brock Purdy. He was good, but there's nothing that happened pre-Brock that would ever make you consider giving Brandon Ayuk $29 million a year. That's a provable statement that I just said. You would never consider paying Brandon Ayuk big money for anything that happened pre-Brock. He was good. Nice player.
Right. You're attributing all of his development, though, to Brock.
I'm not. What I'm saying is that's a response of ridiculousness to the opposite ridiculousness of Brock is only good when the Avengers are out there. My response might be, how do you know that they're not, that they're only Avengers because of Brock? Now, Debo and George Kittle, they were already great players.
McCaffrey as well.
Christian McCaffrey, already a great player. But you can start going around to some of the things that have happened since Brock Purdy and go, I don't know chicken or egg. I don't know. Pat in Foster City. Hi, Pat. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Yeah, a couple things. One, you know, regarding Purdy, I have family in Mesa, Arizona, where he played high school, and family usually in the middle of Iowa where we played college football. So I kind of followed him a little bit, you know, earlier than most people. And I really liked him. I liked him in the preseason when he first broke into the league. I thought, man, this guy's got a lot of talent. And then, of course, the rest is sort of history. But my take on him is that I do agree with Matt that we need a little more time to see where he's at. I don't think a season and a half, you know, does it for me. I mean, you can look at a lot of athletes who had a year and a half early in their career and then became busts. Andres Biedrins of the Warriors comes to mind. But there are a lot of other people that are sort of in that camp. So
that's a tough comp, Pat. I don't want to interrupt you, Pat, but hold the damn not phone for a second.
Let me finish.
Pat, but we woke up on Christmas morning thinking that Brock Purdy might be the MVP of the league. Andres Biedrins never made anyone think that. Never. Go ahead, Pat.
A huge contract from the Warriors, but anyway, my point really is that his value to the Niners reminds a little bit of Draymond Green's value to the Warriors, in that I think it's uniquely high given the players around him and the coaching staff that he has with him. So, you know, of course the Niners are going to want to keep him and he'll want to play here. It all come down to the money, and I think the money, you know, it'll play itself out, but I don't have a problem with the Niners seeing what the market will bear for him and then choosing that number accordingly. But I think it'd be kind of foolish to say we're going to pay a top five or top three quarterback money after 2.5 seasons when they may not have to pay that money to keep them, you know?
How about top one? So, how would you feel about that? I mean, because that's kind of that's the way it works, though, Pat. Pat, thanks.
Pat, and I wonder...
Jordan Love is number one.
Well, I wonder what the sample size is that makes people feel comfortable giving him that level of money, because you've got a season and a half, including 6 playoff games. He's 4-2. One of the 2 losses, his arm fell off in the first quarter, and the other one they lost in overtime to the greatest quarterback in football. So I wonder what people want to see as a sample that would make them feel comfortable. Now, you can have him play out this year, and you're going to, and then you can have him play out his fourth year and let him go to market, but no team ever does that with a player entering the final year of their contract. So after this year, you're going to have a choice to make, and it's not going to be if, it's going to be how much.
Yeah, and again, see, that's what I mean. Oh, you would never pay him top three. Packers just did. Just played fewer games. Get ready. Yeah, he might get top one money. In fact, I would argue right now he probably will. He probably is going to get the biggest contract in the history of the NFL. Hope you're ready.
When it signs, yeah.
When it signs.
It could be.
And that'll last for 14 days.
Maybe it lasts.
And
then
somebody, you know what I mean?
And I do wonder if he does get the highest average annual or guarantee. He's going to be up there.
If he does the numbers that he did this year, he will. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. The Draymond comp is an interesting one, and we can get back to that. And Tim Roy is going to join us in a little bit, and the Giants have just blown this sweep opportunity against the Chicago White Sox.
They won the series.
2-2.
Against a professional baseball team.
They are. They get paid, all of that. They have coaches and everything, but it was 2-2 in the ninth, and they gave up a 4 spot, and they just lost 6-2. So later in the 3 o'clock hour, FP is going to join us, final pitch with FP. But Tim Roy next, Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.